It has been 33 years since the crash of Northwest Flight 255 at Detroit Metro Airport. Andy Graves was one of the first on the scene. He had been working for Huron Valley Ambulance at the time as a first responder. All these years later, what happened that day still haunts him. But he's doing something positive about it. Along with singer Mindy Odom, they have put together the song August Rain. Let's talk about the lyrics, because how you wrote this song has a definite connection to the day itself.
Correct. Yep. So lyrically, like we were talking a little bit before, when I tried writing this the first time, it was from a first responder's perspective. It used words like Middle Belt Road, Northwest, 255, crash, airport, airplane. That didn't work when I tried doing it musically. So when we approached it in 2019, we came at it more from the universal themes of grief, loss, healing, hope, faith, and that is where the energy came from to write the lyrics. So as you listen, you will never hear those words, Middle Belt Road, Northwest, crash, any of those things. All of the meaning is within kind of the hidden meaning of the lyrics, and sometimes these lyrics may have two or three or four different meanings depending on what we were thinking of or what I was thinking of.
Andy, give us an idea of what you're talking about.
An idea, let me see. There is one called The Memory of Your Face, and that to a family member is their loved one. To me, there is something very, very personal that I'm not going to share that's a memory from that crash. That means something entirely different to me as a writer, and I don't think I've shared that with you, Mindy, so surprise. But anyway, there's just lots of little things like that. And then there's the line, the miracle of one. The miracle of one indicates Cecilia. But because we are Christians and it's a spiritual band, the miracle of one is also Jesus and the promise of resurrection and the promise of seeing our loved ones again. So there's all kinds of little hidden double meanings in a lot of the lyrics.
That is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Tell everyone about the bells. You said that
bells, yes.
255, flight 255. We don't hear that. This is not like the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald where we know exactly what. But if people listen for it.
Yep.
And if they think about the lyrics, they'll understand them.
Right. So we wanted to find a way to musically include something from the flight into the song without saying it openly. So what we came up with was in the ending of the song when it's at its musical crescendo and Mindy is doing her amazing part with Angel, our backup vocalists, texture vocals in there, just all this cool stuff happening. We included two bells. And then 10 seconds later, five bells. And then 10 seconds later, five bells. And they're subtle. They're in the texture, but you can hear them. And obviously, 2 + 5 + 5 is flight 255.
Mindy, what was that like for you?
Chills. It just gave me chills. Being a part of the process and seeing Andy's story unfold into a song and having, you know, even a small part in it really felt surreal. And just, I'm grateful. I feel blessed and grateful to be a part of it. And all the little details, all the little layers, they mean something to both of us. More so to Andy because it's his story, but to me because I have to figure out a way of making them come across through vocals.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe you haven't sung professionally.
Oh, thank you.
You're a mom of three?
I am. I have three girls.
How old are they?
They are 12, 10, and 6.
Have you explained to them what this song means?
Yes, they do know. They're very much involved in our musical mm-hmm. journey. They sing the song, all of our songs, throughout the house. They come to the studio mm-hmm. with us every once in a while. They've been a part of all of our little video tapings that we do. Mm-hmm. They're very involved. And even my six-year-old will say, that's the song about the four-year-old girl that survived mm-hmm. from the plane crash. She gets it. They get mm-hmm. it.
And your children are older, right?
Yes. So I have a daughter that's 21. She's at Michigan State, and a daughter that's 20 that still lives near us. She goes to Mott Community College in Flint.
What did they think about this?
They like it a lot, although dad playing music that's like publicly exposed, as you can imagine, for a young adult is kind of embarrassing and not all that cool. But they understand where this song came from. And, of course, living with me and living through sometimes the struggles that came with this, they have been appreciative and supportive.
It impacts your family, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so this has got to help them.
Yep,
to
absolutely.
Know their dad is healing, too.
Yep.
We're talking with Andy Graves, who was a first responder at the Northwest Flight 255 crash back in 1987, and beautiful singer Mindy Odom, who have collaborated along with the group Pivotal Awakening, this Christian rock band, to mm-hmm. produce this song, August Rain. Andy, you are retired battalion chief
yes.
as well?
Yep. So I worked for Huron Valley Ambulance until 1990, and then I was hired by the City of Flint Fire Department. So the majority of my career was spent at the City of Flint. And then I retired from there in 2013. And because I just love the public safety field so much, today I'm a 911 dispatcher.
You didn't let your experience at a young age, though, deter you from staying in the chosen career.
No, and there is something very key that happened that night. When we left the scene, HVA took the two crews that were there immediately to St. Joe's in Ypsilanti, and we did counseling and working with social workers, both as a group and individually. And then for as long as we needed, HVA covered our individual therapy. And I know friends from other agencies that didn't have that support, and a lot of them left the business. So to me, that was like my first real clue as to how important first responder mental health is. And thinking big picture my whole career, to have this happen at such an early point, I was a very experienced 2-year veteran when this happened. To have that happen so early, again, it took decades of thinking and trying to realign the way I processed this. I realized it made me a stronger first responder. It made me a better shift supervisor and then eventually a better command officer, because being so aware of the mental health impacts, I could see those things in my crew members, know the right things to do or say, or at particularly traumatic incidents, just know that it's time to mobilize the department chaplains, because I need the support of those guys here just to make sure my people are all right. And the idea of first responder mental health is still something that's developing, and it's still very neglected. And in part, that's because of us as first responders. We are perceived sometimes as superhuman, and there is a culture within public safety that if you have gone something to some run that you can't handle or that bothers you, that somehow you're weak or you don't belong in this business. So there's still that cultural fight that's going on, and it's evolving, and it's different from agency to agency. But I'm so happy to see first responder mental health becoming something of an area to be very considered.
And it seems in my mind that is a recent event. HVA was very forward thinking.
Yes, they were
33
way ahead
years
of the curve.
Ago.
Yes.
To me, I had not ever heard that yep. part of this story before.
Yep. So the idea of what's called critical incident stress debriefing was in its infancy at the time that this happened. So the fact that HVA was tuned in enough and cared about us enough to do that for us. Like I mentioned, friends that I knew that didn't have the support are no longer in the business. I'm still doing it as my career field, and there's literally no other field that I want to be in. This is just what God put me on this earth to do.
Besides seeing the family members mm-hmm. at the memorial mm-hmm. and the reunions that are hosted, mm-hmm. are you in contact with them in other ways?
Just on the Facebook page, and then when we see each other at the annual memorial. The annual memorial is something of a family reunion. There's people that come from all over the country, and that is the only time they see each other outside of social media contact or whatever they do privately. So, like I've mentioned, it's a sad occasion, but there's also elements of happiness in there too. And it's those little happy things that I've experienced that have helped me really shift the way I look at this whole process.
The little 4-year-old survivor. Mm-hmm. Her family did such a great job mm-hmm. of shielding her from all of this mm-hmm. and the media scrutiny.
Right.
As you can imagine, media wanted to know about her. Mm-hmm. What is she doing? How is she doing? Mm-hmm. And I believe it was her mother's sister and husband who raised her, but I know the mm-hmm. grandparents were really instrumental. Mm-hmm. My colleague Dean Erskine has a story.
Okay.
That I think is very poignant as well about little Cecilia.
Well, my mother was, at the time of the crash, she worked at Mott Children's Hospital, and wow. she was a patient account representative, so she would deal with the families mm-hmm. that have children in the hospital. And Cecilia Sheehan was assigned to her mm-hmm. and the family, so she had to talk with the grandparents. Wow. And so she was a part of all that. This was in the old Mott. Well, she passed away 5 years ago, my mother did, and when I was going through a lot of her things, totes with papers and all this stuff 5 years ago, I came across a little note, and I saw Cecilia Sheehan's picture on the mm-hmm. cover of this little thank you note, opened wow. it up, and it was a handwritten note. It was from the grandparents of Cecilia Sheehan thanking my mother for all the help that they had given her during that very difficult time. Mm-hmm. So it was just interesting to mm-hmm. to see that come back. Just another memory I have of it is I had tickets to a Detroit Tiger game for my son and I to go to an afternoon game. That was actually the Thursday after the crash. And going down 94 from Ann Arbor to Detroit, and you look down, you have to look, and it was all still there, the wreckage, because the investigation was still very much in progress at that point. So something that touched a lot of people,
oh, yes.
you know, here in Wayne County, here in Washtenaw County, mm-hmm. and in the all throughout southeastern Michigan and the country.
Mm-hmm. And can you imagine, you know, I started out our series last week talking about how for most of us it was that picture of Cecilia. We were so mm-hmm. heartwarmed and happy that she had survived. But, mm-hmm. you know, even Dean just going by the wreckage a week mm-hmm. later, he's not going to forget that.
No. Right.
To mm-hmm. imagine what you first responders went through, mm-hmm. it boggles the mind to figure out how someone makes sense of any of
that. Right, yeah, it was very, very difficult to process. And when I left duty that morning, my routine was stop and grab something for breakfast at the same store every day. It was at Washtenaw Golfside, right by my apartment. So I went in and picked up breakfast and looked down, and there we were on the Detroit Free Press. There's a picture of me with my partner and the other guys that responded from my agency on the front page of the Detroit Free Press.
Wow.
And I took that home, and literally for hours just was in this state of disbelief. I can't believe that happened. And then I'd look at the picture. It really happened. And that is really me standing there, and then put it down and go back to, I can't believe that happened.
So it's one thing to compartmentalize this in mm-hmm. your mind, but to see it concretely.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Right. It was like this photographic, you know, just proof that, mm. you know, it happened and I was there. And how do I get that through my head and process that stuff?
Andy, I don't know if you want to share this. Mm-hmm. Feel free not to, but you had mentioned to me off the air that things have happened.
Yes.
Over the last 33 years.
Yes, just these amazing, weird things that happened connected to the flight. The first one I shared with you was my family and I like vacations. We go somewhere every 18 months, most often cruises. So we went on a cruise to the Bahamas, and we're flying back from...
I think you were Atlanta.
Orlando. No, okay. It was connecting. Orlando to Atlanta, Atlanta to Flint. Mm-hmm. Our Atlanta to Flint flight was flight 255.
Oh.
I have the ticket right here.
And just for context on this, mm-hmm. Northwest at the time had deleted 255 after
right.
the accident. Delta
right.
carried that on after they took over.
Yeah.
So there is no Delta 255.
Right, or Northwest 255.
Right.
But yeah, to see that in our itinerary when it came back from the cruise line as that was going to be our flight number. And then to walk into the airport and sit at the gate and walk onto the airplane that was flight 255. By that time, I was fairly comfortable with flying again. That was another journey, was being able to fly relatively comfortably. But just imagine, how could that be a coincidence that I'm walking onto a Flight 255? Just unbelievable. And then the other thing that happened was I started going to the memorial and then started participating in the annual cleanup of the site. My sister-in-law found out about that, told her husband about it. Her husband had a cousin that was on the flight, a very vibrant young lady and her new husband. So they perished on the flight, and I found that out. And that was, again, a tremendous just mental challenge, because these were people I would have met at a family gathering. So I was literally grieving the loss of someone that I had never met 25 years after the accident.
If circumstances had been different.
Yep.
Wow. Amazing. Mm-hmm. You have done
when that. You hear about the story of the helicopter that went down with Kobe Bryant in it that happened a couple of weeks ago, does it kind of make you kind of go back thinking of the first responders there at that, and then think about...
Yep. Anytime there's an aviation incident, you know, your heart just hurts for the families that have lost loved ones and for the first responders and everybody else. Much like any of these accidents, there's just countless people that are touched by it. And every time one of those happens, it's just particularly sad. And the other one that happened recently was the airliner that was shot down in Iran or Iraq, I forget. That was just a couple weeks ago. When those things happen, they just hurt and they bring you right back to that feeling of loss. Unfortunately, today, when I go back to that time of hurt on the night of the crash, it's immediately balanced out by the positive experiences. Whereas before, it would take me back to that dark place, and I would stay there for a long time.
What do you know about little Cecilia today?
Cecilia, I know, is doing well. She, again, is very, very private. I know where she is. I know a little bit about her family. And just out of the respect of privacy that the first responders have always shown, I'm not going to reveal where she is.
It's good to know she's doing well, though. Yeah. Such a pleasure talking with you and with Mindy Odom as well, Andy Graves, and this beautiful song called August Rain, the Christian rock band Pivotal Waking. Who else was involved in this?
So Mindy and I are the band, but we have friends that are amazingly musically talented. So my good friend Sam Gemble, that I've played for decades, is the drummer. Our friend Angel Thompson does the amazing backing and texture vocals. And then, because I'm a bass player, that's my primary instrument, and I write on keyboards, I am not good enough to play keyboards on a recording other than simple chord textures. So we have a professional named Pat Cronley. I would encourage you to look him up online. He is an amazing musician. So he came in to join us, learned a little bit about the song, and the part you hear him playing took him about an hour to compose. Mm. And it's just beautiful.
Where did the name Pivotal Awakening come from?
Pivotal Awakening is Mindy's idea. So
Mindy?
Go ahead, Mindy.
Yeah, well, it too has many meanings. Mm-hmm. And so for Andy and I, we both took about a 15-year break from music, Andy from writing music and me from singing, and we just felt that God put us together and the worship team, and that in itself was pivotal. And then we started going to the studio, and that made us feel awake again, you know. So we really, you know, in a nutshell, our whole journey has just been a pivotal awakening. Every time we turn, we feel like there's something that is instrumental in this journey that God has his hands on, and so it just made sense.
And taking you back then to the scene, when I heard Pivotal Awakening, I thought of it in terms of when someone sees something like this, you have an awakening.
Right. I don't really associate it with the crash itself. To me, the name is more of just how this completely unexpected partnership between two people that had known each other for several years just all of a sudden materialized and just totally unexpected. And we went from, we're going to record one song and just have some laughs, to now we have two songs released, 8 in production, and 3 more ideas to write. So
fantastic.
So literally this has been, us coming together as musicians has been a life-changing experience for us. It has now become one of the prominent forces in our lives behind our family and our careers.
I know that you mentioned that life has just changed after mm-hmm. something like this. Mm-hmm. But do you feel healed now?
I do feel healed. Again, I will never have closure per se, but these days, instead of the crash memories feeling like a scab that gets ripped open every year and has to reheal, now it feels more like a scar. So I know it's there every day. It's not as painful, but it's still there and will always be there with me forever.
The majority of proceeds from this beautiful song are being donated to the Salvation Army's Eastern Michigan Division, which to this day continues to help at the memorial site Correct. Of Detroit Metro Airport, where that mm-hmm. flight went down mm-hmm. in 1987. August Rain, and you can find it on Spotify, Apple Music, mm-hmm. CD Baby.
Yep, CD Baby. You can find it on our YouTube channel. So just look for Pivotal Awakening on YouTube and you'll find us there. We just went up on Pandora, and we are on literally hundreds of streaming services around the world. We've seen us on something called Angami, which is the Spotify Apple Music of the Middle East. We are on KKBox, which is the Spotify or Apple Music of Asia. And to see our song overseas, literally at the click of a mouse, is, again, just one of those unbelievable experiences.
Continued blessings to both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Andrew Graves grew up here in Ann Arbor, mm-hmm. my former neighbor when we were little kids, and his partner in the Christian rock band Pivotal Awakening, Mindy Odom. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You're listening to The Lucy Ann Lance Show, Ann Arbor's talk station, 1290 WLBY.